Okay, welcome back. There's a lot going on here. It's 25 hours a day around the world. It's not stopping, it's not slowing, and very few, if any, are even alleging that they have recovered from the injuries of the bioweapon vaccine. And we haven't really been able to get a really clear picture yet on the damages done by the bioweapon virus, but that's happening all the time as well. There's just a lot going on out there, and it's very difficult to try to corral it and refine it and present it in such a way that it all makes sense. A lot of people with names out there are beginning to jump on stuff that is just not right. The graphene oxide canard, for one. I'm kind of waiting for them to bring the Oh, there's so much in the past that's been discounted that these people are bringing back. It's crazy. And because they have a name, you tend to accept what they say and think of it as credible, probably logical, and probably real. But it's not. It's just like the no virus people. And then there were the two that last week said, week before, they said there's no such thing as spike protein. So you'd see how they confuse everybody. It's not hard to do when you control the media and you can let this stuff leak out all over the place. So it's a very difficult situation to wade through and really make sense of it all. Are you there?
I am. Good
Okay.
evening.
It is. All right. Hold on, I'm looking for this. There it is. Now we have a story, and we've been covering the CJD issue lately, which is really another big bomb that is it's actually exploding already, but it's in slow motion. But this is going to be big. CJD used to be a disease of the brain that struck, what, 1 in a million people,
Why,
something
yeah,
like that?
one in a million. It was rare.
All right, here's this. This is posted. I don't know where it was posted, but Emily Casey, 36, a teacher at Our Lady of Mercy School for Young Women, diagnosed with a 1 in a million disease on January 22nd, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, CJD. This is from Dr. William Mackus. She died a month later on February 22nd, 2024. Diagnosis to death, 4 weeks. That's fast. That's way too fast. And we can assume that she didn't have this for the normal 8 to 10 year incubation period. I think that would be a safe assumption, don't you?
Unless there was some family history of it, where she inherited a unique susceptibility to it.
I think
There's a picture of
Mackus.
her here, and
Yeah.
well, you can't tell by looking, but she's young and she's got two young children, husband, looking
It's
quite
about
happy.
30, maybe
Yeah.
30.
Well, it's
Mackus may
36.
know 36. That's
This
right.
was extracted from Facebook. It was, somebody mourning the loss of their wife.
I wonder if Mackus knows more about some of these things. It doesn't say she was vaxxed here, but I think it's pretty obvious that he wouldn't post or
You
recirculate
can
something.
sometimes discern that because people, if they were into the
It's what they don't
virtue
say.
signaling around the time they got the vax, you can often see that in their collection of photographs if they've made that public.
Right. All of you remember in the beginning how the PCR test was everything that you needed. That was the gold standard, the PCR test. And the man who invented the PCR test, Dr. Kary Mullis, coincidentally, in case you don't remember, died just before they rolled this entire horror out. He died. They said it was pneumonia, I believe, but very suspicious. So they got rid of him. They get rid of people who may potentially get in their way. And they got rid of a lot of people early on, people we don't even know about, we'll never know about, but they broomed the opposition out of the footpath so they had clear walking as they rolled this thing out into the consciousness and physiologies of billions of people through the needle. No more needles. All right, we've got a video here. You want to set this up?
Yeah, this is another CHD bus video. This is a woman, a microbiologist, that worked in a hospital laboratory, and she was put in charge of running the PCR tests. And having a couple decades of experience in her field, she said, well, what are we testing for here? Because, you know, the PCR test is not designed to diagnose anything. And, well, we'll let you hear her story, but she really stood up to these people, you know, long before it was known that this was all part of some corrupt agenda.
Right.
And forfeited her career for it. And it's a pretty harrowing story. You know, it went beyond that, too, as you'll hear. But, I for anybody that worked in the biological sciences, I mean, I myself knew back in the late 1990s that PCR was not to be used for diagnosis. You could use it in conjunction with clinical symptoms and other blood tests that would show, you know, would point you in the direction of a diagnosis, but it was never to be used on its own to diagnose anything. And she knew that just as well.
And Carrie Mullis personally made that basically the same statement. This test is not being used properly. It's not to be used for diagnosis. And then he was dead. So there we go. All right. Here's this video with this lady. Her name is Holly. She's been at this for 35 years as a clinical microbiologist.
And as well as I've done numerous years of research in Salk. So I've basically been in charge of molecular diagnostics for a major health system in San Diego for 35 years.
Okay, and so what can you tell us, what did you do during the pandemic?
Well, I was notified right away that I was going to have to validate a PCR test for testing for COVID-19. I have done such things before many times, and the CDC sent me a test to validate to be run on our hospital. When I was validating it, I found that it only had what we call two primers. Primers are basically little pieces of DNA to identify an organism or a virus. Well, that simply is not enough. I complained to the CDC. I said, this can't be done. They admitted to me that one of the primers, one of the ways I was going to identify this, was actually common to every coronavirus out there. I said, so I'm using one primer to try to identify something. That's like less like playing a game, name that tune, and I give you one note. How can you identify a song by that? They said, it does not matter because this is under emergency use only and to run the test anyway. I was shocked.
They did that in the beginning, and I think some of you, if you remember, EUA gave them carte blanche to kind of do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
All the rules and regs were out the window as soon as EUA gets stamped on something. That was their game.
Because this meant this test was going to throw out many false positives. I said, how do we verify that our positives are real true positives? Do I report them as possible? Do I report them as possible COVID-19 retest? They said, no, report them as strictly positive. I said, this is violates every PCR protocol we've ever had in the last 25 years. And they said, it doesn't matter. It's under emergency use only. The other thing I asked, I said, I only have a biosafety lab level 2 as well as a biosafety lab level 3. I said, this virus should be under BSL-4, which is a respiratory virus. They said, it doesn't matter. Work with it on the counter. We don't care. I said, what? How? You're saying that I'm supposed to be treating tuberculosis with more care than this virus? Yeah, doesn't matter. And click, run it. Well, I got very upset when I brought the test up, and we started running hundreds and thousands of them a week. we were having sometimes up to 30% were positive. And the crossing times on these, which means we had to run them for long times before we could even detect this virus, quote unquote. And so people were being thrown into the hospital with something that was very likely not true. The other thing that went very wrong is when I would report a negative test, they would send me 5 more samples to run. And I said, well, I've already done it. And they said, doesn't matter, keep running them. I had got to up to 10 specimens per patient per day.
How many people were thrown into the hospital on the basis of the PCR test, a false positive with a test that really can't even work for its alleged intended purpose here? How many people were thrown in and then given remdesivir, in which their lungs would
fill up with fluid?
They were thrown on
the COVID ward and given a special treatment.
And the special treatment was death. They killed them.
Right.
They killed them. Hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions, killed.
Mm-hmm.
Here in this country, genocide already has occurred.
And what I couldn't understand, because in normal cases you don't run things multiple times over and over, I realized later that they were fishing for positives. So the other thing, what they were doing is they were putting people on the ventilators, and then they were opening them up and doing pleural peels, opening their lungs up and scraping them out and sending it to me to do a PCR test. I said, I have never validated this test on doing it. They said, run it anyway. Most of them were negative, and then I was complaining because they were sending me Jell-O. And I said, is this a washing of the lung? They said, no, this is the lung itself. Well, lung is like a piece of meat. It's like a steak. And so I couldn't understand what they were doing, because the lungs they were sending me was liquefied. And they said they were literally taking lung out of it. So I started putting things together like something was going very wrong. I went to management and I said, what I'm doing is wrong. It's inappropriate. And there's no way to verify what I'm doing. This needs to stop. They all brought me into a room and they said, you need to do your job. And I said, my job isn't to report out erroneous results. This needs to stop. So they brought in a physician. They certified me mentally ill and marched me off the property.
This is not an isolated event, I will wager anything. Somehow, from the top came the directive, CDC, FDA, I don't know, to these major health organizations, you will do this and you will make your staff comply, or you will lose your certification and your grants and whatever else perks they were getting from the government. This is all organized genocide. Understand that. There's no other way to interpret it. Not fairly, not logically, not pragmatically.
How did they certify you? What did you do to be certified?
They said working with COVID has caused me too stressed and I could not do my job. And as a physician signed off that I had post-traumatic stress and I could not work in the laboratory and do my job. Even though 10 days earlier, they gave me a 10% raise and said I was invaluable to their system. So in 10 days, I had a mental breakdown.
So they put you on leave?
Yes. A mental leave of absence.
And that's still on her record right now, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mental breakdown, put on leave, and then brought back into the system under careful scrutiny. All right.
What was the gooey stuff? Did you ever find out what the gooey stuff was?
No.
So just talk about that a second. You said they put them on ventilators.
Yes.
The patients.
Yes.
And then they died and they opened the lungs?
No, these people were alive when they did this. Yes, they called them, we're pleural peels. I would sometimes get 2 or 3 a day.
Do you know anything about pleural peels?
No, I don't. That's the first I've heard of that.
Unless you open the chest up, do you go down through the bronchial tubes and go inside? And how do you peel open a lung without opening the chest? I don't get it. I don't, anyway. This is crazy. And she never was told what the red jello was she was being given to test. Sounds like a gelatin kind of a medium, which they may have impregnated with, I'm just guessing here, with maybe the COVID virus, something that she could find. I don't know. Doesn't sound like lung tissue at all. That's what she said. Didn't look like it.
On ventilators.
And they wanted you to test to see if it was positive.
For positive for PCR, for COVID-19, yes. And that was one of my breaking points, because they wanted a positive test. The test I developed was hypersensitive to be positive, but they wanted any test to be positive. I realized later they had a motivation for this that I didn't realize at the time that they had. They needed that positive test.
They just
test.
Needed positive.
Yes.
Let's talk about the test itself for a second. Is there anything good about the PCR test? Does it work in any way, shape, or form? Or is it you say it's a coronavirus, remember that word?
Yes.
So that's common cold, right?
It's a common cold. So if I were to swab this area, we could come up with a positive PCR. Because it is everywhere. And this is why there were a couple of patients I was pretty sure had something. Because the crossing times were like 11 and 12. That means the logarithmic curve of it came very up quickly. The ones that were coming up at 38, 48, 40, 42 cycles were probably just garbage that was out in the environment. But they were telling me. Now, if I had run this, like if you had tuberculosis, that your doctor thinks you had tuberculosis, I could run a PCR on your lung. I look for 5 primers to see if I can find tuberculosis. They all have to hit for me. And the only thing I could say is possible tuberculosis to be confirmed by culturing to see if I can grow it. It's only like all PCR is a screening test. I ran PCR on people with hepatitis. Possible hepatitis. Please do antibody. Please do other screenings. I send it to other labs for them to validate. None of this was done for COVID. They just wanted a positive result on something that was going to give them a positive result if they ran it enough.
Which is kind of the beginning of everything wrong with the PCR test. Because people test positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I noticed when the people who came in, who got, because they were allowing everyone, the one thing about PCR is we will not run it unless you have other symptoms. Like, I've had doctors call me, I'm sure my patient has hepatitis. And I said, does he have an antibody to hepatitis? Is his liver enzymes it? We refuse to do it until they do all the preliminary testing. Then we give it to them, and then we send it to another lab to confirm. So this was basically, they wanted that test, and they wanted it to be positive, because they got a significant amount of money if it was.
That's a lot of this is about.
Yes, yes. And that's what I found out. That in reality, this was, I actually, when I look back, I saw the reasons why this happened. In 2017, I was told to make my resume out because our hospital system was going to be bankrupt within 4 years. Turns out the Medicare system was going to change the reimbursement to where the hospitals will not get enough money to basically survive. I had a close friend who worked in the CEO of the financial that. Interesting. I tried for years to get new refrigerators. Everything was falling apart in a lab that I was keeping running with tongue depressors. The minute COVID hit, when I got 3 refrigerators, showed up. You need them. Here's the money. Do it. And I worked for 25 years to get those refrigerators. So I knew immediately that COVID-19 was going to save the hospital in terms of financially, yes. And they did it by killing people, unfortunately, in my opinion.
Well, that's what we said. This was organized genocide to keep the money, the funding, the grants coming in. It was survival of a business over survival of humanity. These people should all have been taken outside and permanently relieved of their responsibilities and anything to do with running a medical or health establishment. This, and that's too good for them. This is hideous. This is Donald Trump and warp speed. Remember, this is your government, your alleged government, which lined up with Fauci and all the rest of the frauds. And believe me, many of those frauds are still around right now, getting wonderful treatment in the alt-news world. People adore them. They idolize them. And these people are flat-out evil frauds who have sold out.
I agree.
We've had them sitting here, loved ones that told us.
Yes. And I watched it because I was in the laboratory. I watched people who came in who all of a sudden got a positive PCR test. When they ran their cortisol levels, they went through the roof. These people, and when your cortisol goes up, your immune system plummets. People were literally scared, being scared to death. And they pressured people to get on ventilators too, because that upped the money count. So I didn't realize at the time that I was in the middle of a cog of something that was out of control. Now that I look back, I understand everything a lot better than at the time. But I made a big stand with the whole laboratory. There were 300 people in that lab, and I'm only one that I refused to put a mask on, and I refused to get that vaccine, and I refused to run that test.
She was the only one of 300 people in the lab who refused to get the test. They all took the test and the shot. Is that what I heard?
Mask.
Well, I heard mask, but I mean, what about the shots?
I don't think she mentioned whether or not she, there was no mention of taking a test. I didn't hear that.
I meant the actual vax, the shot.
Well, yeah.
So basically, 299 took the shot. She didn't. I don't know why she wouldn't want to wear a mask in the lab. Remember, she said BSL-4 would have been appropriate.
Yeah.
That certainly warrants a mask. All right.
Yes, absolutely. I'm certified.
Going back to PCR test again, because when the whole thing was crazy and everyone was posting stuff, there was a lot of talk about PCR tests being contaminated, potential graphene oxide. I can't even remember what it was.
The one thing I will say about at least what I watched, I do not believe that's true, because a lot of us, I didn't even have any gloves. There was nothing. There was no PPE. I was running COVID testing with my bare hands, with no masks, with no lab coats.
Is this policy for that company, or is that her choice?
In the beginning, they didn't have the PPE.
No latex gloves? Wow.
Oh, remember? Yeah, they were reusing a lot of this stuff.
I do remember, yeah.
Because we didn't have any. It was all gone. So, and we were making up kits with practically Q-tips, because no company could produce them fast enough. So we were putting little saline in little things with vials with Q-tips to give to people to run that test. We used the flock swab a lot in PCR. Into the nose for doing flu testing. It grabs epithelial cells, because PCR does not work unless you have epithelial cells, because the virus is inside the cells. So if you just sort of spit in something, if it doesn't have enough epithelial, I can't run the PCR. So they have these swabs, and they're nasty, I will say. We have used them for years. People hate them because the fact is, you don't need, people were telling me they were bloodying people by putting these swabs that were practically doing brain biopsies, which was inappropriate. You could just do like a little tiny bit on each one of the nares, and that's all you need to do. So I don't know what this brain biopsy thing that they were doing, which is ridiculous. We did flu, and we never did it that way. So
she's really not talking about an actual brain biopsy, but it may as well have been the way they were ramming these swabs all the way back to somebody's cribriform plate between the sinus and the brain cavity. It's crazy. So she's
and a lot of these people who were performing these tests were not adequately trained.
I don't think they were trained much at all. You're right. Whoops. Hold on. I lost my place. Let's see if I can find it.
lab that I was keeping running with tongue depressors. The minute COVID hit,
Here it is.
I was in the gun by them. I don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. Were they all the same, giving false positives as well?
Because oh, yeah.
An awful comment. It seems you're right. That basically if someone had a sneeze, they would get tested.
Oh, you could. I literally, in fact, we did something. When you're in a PCR department, you have to do something every quarter called a wipe test, which means I have to take a swab, run around the lab, and start swabbing it, and then run it for various PCR. If it's positive, your lab is contaminated. Guess where you find it? On the refrigerator, on the door, where people grab. So guess what they're doing? Their gloves or cans are contaminated with it. They put it on the door, and then I swab it for a wipe test, and I find it. I could swab this bus, and I could find it. But see, what does that mean? It means it's garbage. And the thing is people will say, well, it means I have COVID. And I go, well, let's take my finger off. Let's take this finger and throw it in the parking lot. And we discover this. What does this mean? It means my finger is in the parking lot. Does it mean I'm dead? Does it mean I'm alive? All you know is this finger is in the parking lot, and we have identified it to me. It doesn't. So I can pick up dead viruses that have no life, that are little parts, and then people say they have COVID. You don't know whether it's, and that's the problem which I had with the test, is that normally when I detect a virus, I can send it to another lab, and they can grow it. It's living. It's growing in tissue. They know it's viable. This test, you could not prove if what I'm detecting is dead or alive.
Every PCR test, it sounds arguable. Every PCR test was bogus, the results that they gave back. Inappropriate, ineffective, and that suggests all kinds of things. How many people had the flu and were false positive with the PCR for COVID? We talked about that many, many times. The flu was being misdiagnosed.
It could have been flu, but, you know, the fact that she said there were two primers they would use, which is still inadequate.
She wanted all five, too. She said, I needed all five.
Well, it would be five for something like tuberculosis, but the fact that they were using two, and one of them was related to the common coronavirus, the one that causes colds.
Right. Not appropriate.
So really, they were only going off of a positive test result for one primer that could distinguish
this is beyond
the
belief.
Novel SARS-CoV-2 virus from a common coronavirus.
Right. Wow.
And still, it's meaningless. In the absence of clinical symptoms, it's meaningless.
Find my thumb in the parking lot. You cannot tell if I'm dead or alive.
So the whole thing's a farce.
It's a farce. Yes. That's what got me fired. I said, the truth will set me free, and it set me free. Because they threw me out.
Do you have a job now?
No. I've been blackballed. I went from making $70 an hour to working part-time in a little health food store. Yeah. So I'm unemployable at this point, and they've tried to employ me. Several hospitals have offered me $1,600 a day to work for them. The first question I say, do I have to mask, and do I have to get that vax? Yes and yes, bye. I will under no circumstance. You cannot buy me off with this. So, but they're desperate for someone with my experience. But unfortunately, I will call that test out because the test is invalid. You cannot validate it. And the other thing is, if you're throwing out these false positives, you need a methodology to see if that virus is actually alive and causing someone problems. That is standard procedure. And I kept saying we need to send these out to another lab that can grow them. They said, no, this is an emergency. We have no time for that.
Do these people that were saying, no, it's an emergency and said you had mental illness, were they so brainwashed that they truly believed all this, or were they in on the darkness?
I think the upper management was in on the darkness. And the reason why I'm saying that is I really liked our original CEO. He was a great man. And 6 months before COVID hit, he said he decided to retire at 60 to be with his family. And he had been there for like 20 years. And that shocked me. because he was very well respected. The people they brought in afterwards were different. So I honestly, this is my theory, I'm not saying this is true, is I think they, like chess, they planted their pieces before they went in for the real kill. And I think the hospital administrators understood this. I can only speak to mine, but I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out that they were all in collusion with this.
Because some of these reports we're getting of the nurses and doctors, I mean, it's just evil.
It is evil.
Oh, they're possessed.
I understand that they're making a lot of money. Even my doctor, my personal doctor, years ago told me that he made $80,000 bonus every year if he got 80% of his practice vaccinated. He admitted, he said, the reason you don't make me any money, because I don't do any of it. So he would say, can we make a deal if you do a certain thing? I said, I don't inject myself with anything. So I would do occult bloods and some other testing. But he said, I can't make any money off of you. So these doctors were compromised in terms of they had to make a decision. Am I going to make a shitload of money, or am I going to be on the side of truth? And the grand majority of them chose the latter.
Money.
It is big. I know. And for me, I cannot lie like this.
Not when you're killing people.
Not when I watched how many people. The other thing which I will say, which has never come out, three of our pathologists got COVID very early on. They were given hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. We were told, all of us, not to tell anyone about it. They were back in work and within a week.
Who gave them the ivermectin? The doctors? The pathologists?
Yes. So, to me, they said it's because it's a experimental thing. We don't want anyone to think it could work. Well, obviously, they knew it did. The other thing is, I have a very close friend who was involved in Fort Detrick and did sequencing, friends with Judy Mikovits. And he did say that he found Plasmodium, which is malaria sequences in that virus. Well, it's almost like they engineered it with a kill switch in case the wrong person got it, so you have a way of treating. So I would be very shocked if they did not know how to treat this virus with ivermectin and other things, because I think it was engineered to do this. So, I mean, I know I've gone to the crazy dark side, but with everything that I've seen, if you were to talk to me, you know, two or three years ago, I was being so gaslit, I didn't know what the heck was going on. And when they walked me off the property, I didn't know whether I was doing the right thing or not. I had so many people, you know, tell me that, you know, they needed to have all this stuff done and all this COVID analysis needs to be, and I was looking at it, it was all a lie. And no one could hear me. So I spent a whole year trying to get people to stop from not take that shot. I did everything I could. I've had people, you know, literally will never talk to me ever again. I had people call me up screaming because you're going to convince my brother not to take the shot and he's going to die and his death is on you. I had a lot of crazy stuff happen to me. But when this happens, you really kind of think, am I doing the right thing? Because everyone is so hell-bent to jump off a cliff. And I'm trying to stop them. So it now I look back, I feel more vindicated. But I couldn't stop the lab from doing what it did. Who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people were affected by what was coming out of that lab. I don't know. I did my best.
Thank you.
Well, she did her best. And there's an inside look at the establishment, the big machine of death, the engine of death, and how it worked and how successful it was, and the tyranny that these people had to work under. At everything she said, as far as I can tell, I think Erica agrees, is correct, except for choosing not to use a mask. I think she was making a personal choice statement on that. Masks are effective. They will help. There's no question about it. How much depends on your work, what you're doing, I don't like to see anybody wearing them for 8 hours a day, but you get breaks. You can get outside, take them off. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be around that lab without a mask. Thank you. I don't even want to be in a grocery store without a mask anymore. Too many people are shedding all the time. That was one heck of a look inside the belly of the beast.
Yep. It sure was.
All right, here, let me do this. Okay, this should be interesting here now. This is actually Dr. Kerry Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize for developing the PCR test. And here's what Kerry said not long before they killed him. That's my opinion. I have no proof. But the circumstances add up perfectly, just like the guy at Boeing. Obviously murdered. He didn't commit suicide.
To his face, nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick.
Let me back this up. All right, here we go.
He doesn't know anything. And start talking, he doesn't know anything really about anything. And I'd say that to his face, nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine, and he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's
going on. He's talking about Fauci.
Those guys have got an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have, being that we pay for them to take care of our health in some way. They've got a personal kind of agenda. They make up their own rules as they go. They change them when they want to, and they smugly, like Tony Fauci, does not mind going on television in front of the people that pay his salary and lie directly into the camera. You can't expect the sheep to really respect the best and the brightest. They don't know the difference, really. I mean, I like humans, don't get me wrong, but basically the vast majority of them do not possess the ability to judge who is and who isn't a really good scientist. I mean, that's a problem. That's a main problem, actually, with science, I'd say, in this century, because science is being judged by people. Funding is being done by people who don't understand it. Okay, who do we trust? Fauci? Fauci doesn't know enough to, If Fauci wants to get on television with somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff and debate him, he could easily do it, because he's been asked. I mean, I've had a lot of people, president of the University of South Carolina, ask Fauci if he'd come down there and debate me on the stage in front of the student body, because I wanted somebody who was from the other side to come down there and balance my, because I felt like, well, these guys can listen to me, but I need to have somebody else down here that's going to tell me the other side. But Fauci didn't want to do it.
How do they misuse PCR to estimate all these supposed free viral RNAs that may or may not be there?
I think misuse PCR is not quite... I don't think you can misuse PCR. No, the results, the interpretation of it. See, if you can say, if they could find this virus in you at all, and with PCR, if you do it well, you can find almost anything in anybody. It starts making you believe in the sort of Buddhist notion that everything is contained in everything else, right? I mean, because if you can amplify one single molecule up to something that you can really measure, which PCR can do, then there's just very few molecules that you don't have at least one single one of them in your body, okay? So that could be thought of as a misuse of it, just to claim that it's meaningful. It's a process that's used to make a whole lot of something out of something. That's what
also,
it is. It doesn't tell you that you're sick, and it doesn't tell you that the thing you ended up with really was going to hurt you or anything like that.
The man who invented the PCR test, all right? It's right there in black and white sound. I just don't know where this thing is ever going to right itself. The evil that has been perpetrated on humankind by these people, by these alleged governments, by these corporations, is incalculable. It's through the roof.
And they're getting ready to do it again. I saw something that they're going to start PCR testing international arrivals to this country again now.
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought I saw that somewhere.
It probably did. Yeah. All right. I'm getting requests to put the video link up with the microbiologist lady that we heard, and I'll post that up in headlines here later tonight, and I'll put it under guests as well, under our names, so you can see that for yourself. She just laid it all out. I'll also put the Carrie Mullis link, so you can hear Carrie saying that PCR test is being misused. He says you can amplify it and find almost anything you want with that technology.
Right.
So anyway, we've covered this for 4 years now, and hopefully many of you who are new will pay attention and understand that you have been more than lied to. You have been murdered. This is a mass murder program. And when you see Donald Trump boasting about Operation Warp Speed and how he got that death shot, that bioweapon injection released within a year instead of the normal 8 to 10 years or whatever it is, it's something like that. This man is, talk about the dark side. They're all on the dark side. They may have different color shirts on, but they're all standing on the dark side.
Yeah. Yep. We had that article up the other day about Moderna building a manufacturing plant back in 2016.
Years ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have evidence that I believe it was Tom Rentz that revealed what was happening in the military in 2018, that they were testing the vaccine on the military back in 2018 because there were adverse events from it.
Right. Yep.
So this thing was, it was being tested ahead of time.
Right.
Production for it was being ramped up ahead of time. And everything else was just one big charade for the public.
This was all set up, every bit of it. God, and I think most all of you out there who understand, and maybe even many of you who've taken the injection, the vaccine didn't work. It wasn't designed to work. It's designed to kill. And I'll bet some of you have tried like hell to warn other people. I know a lot of you unvaxxed have. And you saw the microbiologist say that she did, for a year, she did everything she could. And all she got was abuse. That tells you how damned thorough and effective mass mind control and brainwashing can be. There was no science behind it at all. Just they
well,
said
it was.
It was
all trauma-based mind control.
Exactly right. Yeah.
You know, they had people, as she said, you know, in a state of fear.
That's all it takes, fear-driven. You get the herd afraid, and you stampede them. You can direct them any way you want.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's all about fear. Okay, let's go back to our COVID files here. Back to March 11th, we've got two that we didn't get to last time, and that's regrets one and regrets two. Let me start off with the regrets one. Let's see where we go here. Well, today is it. I didn't even realize it until I was at my neurologist's appointment. 3 years ago today, I got my Pfizer vaccine. And the burning in my leg started. 1 hour and 50 minutes later. I can't believe my body had been irreparably damaged by something that was supposed to do so much good. What a horrible way to spend my retirement. And as a response to that, same here, getting more severe. To Moderna, is there any hope? I got a toxic batch. So many new horrific side effects. I'm terrified. It was poison. So wish I had stayed away. And a response. I am currently on gabapentin, duloxetine, and getting IVIG infusions. What other side effects do you have? Do you have small fiber neuropathy? And the person responds back. I believe I do have neuropathy in the left foot, and going up the shin and now into the right toes. I'm on basically nothing but supplements that don't work. I had been on gabapentin. I am on duloxetine. I have Topmax. My neuro team is not doing things I ask, like HBOT. I never did lumbar puncture, spinal tap. That's said to be too risky. This is a big neuro group. Plenty have had lumbar punctures. Severe debilitating head pressure. There's the headache again. I just hope it's not late keep getting things new from my two Modernas, my biggest regret. I have hearing loss and tinnitus. I was completely healthy before the two Moderna shots. Bright friends said don't take any. They were so right. It's hard because I know many who got the shots and are perfect. One had 7, 5, 4, and 3. I had 2 and got sick after the second one, and it's now basically attacking different areas of my body. All the people I know are great. Has to be my batch and toxic stuff in it. No life. I am praying for a miracle. Her life is over. Last one on this leg. My husband has had 6 Pfizer vaccines, and he's absolutely fine. I know what you mean about it attacking areas of your body. I pray for a miracle for all of us who are suffering. All right, there's another one there. Go ahead, the second one.
I do as well. I'm pretty terrified because of all the new things just over the last 3 months. I barely get out of bed. My neurophysician's assistant said she would ask for low-dose naltrexone from the head doctor. Of course, I heard nothing. I so wish I had stayed away. I get sensations on my face, new head pressure, so severe, weird body vibrations, head vibrations, bone pain is awful, tinnitus, hearing loss, neck pain, ear pressure. My husband had 3 Modernas. He's perfect. Many are. For the injured, who will get us better? Better be fast. It's been 3 years. Please help us. Plus, what is really frightening is my memory. I'm afraid I'm getting dementia. I'm terrified. I'm mad at myself. I have never had COVID. This is all from the shots. Why would the world allow this? The NIH, the CDC, the WHO. The original poster says, well, I've had COVID twice, and that screwed things up even more. And she says back to her, well, someone told me that. Don't get COVID. So far, I haven't. All these debilitating things for me are from these horrible shots. I am so sorry.
You know, there's talk about these, some batches being harmless and are otherwise defective, and they're not particularly toxic. I just have trouble with that. I don't know the answer. We know the quality control is lousy. The batches certainly could vary. Maybe they were intentionally made to be varied. We don't know. But to ask the question about why do these people do that? Well, because they're part of a worldwide global genocide. That's why.
That's hard for most people to wrap their heads around.
You betcha. It's right over the top and out the door. They can't do it.
I've got an update from Mike O'Mara here, who is, probably coming into the home stretch in terms of how much longer he's going to be around.
Go ahead.
I'd like to read it, okay.
Yeah.
Not too long.
Go ahead.
The medical community, in accordance with their masters, the pharmaceutical industry, and our various national governmental agencies, are killing us. On purpose, full stop. I cannot stress enough how this needs to be frankly and loudly stated, without remorse, by everyone, medically injured and able-bodied alike. It is helping to kill literally thousands of us in several countries. We must stand together. I have had my medical records filled full of lies. I have had them write that they did testing they never did, and I have been denied my own scans and notes. I'm not alone in this. Not even close. This is happening everywhere. They know what caused my fatal disease and the various horrendous, atypical, rare, and turbo versions of other horrendous diseases for so many. And they are waiting us out until we die. So then they can say it was whatever they like. Stop hiding from them. Stop caring about your politically and idealistically brainwashed friends and family members are going to say about you on social media. You will be shadow banned and censored, but keep posting and talking and sharing anyway, more and more and more. This is bigger than every one of us. This affects everyone. This affects all who come after us. Unless the healthy and the injured stand together loudly and call this out continuously, it will persist. And no matter how well prepared you are, no matter how healthy, no matter how off the grid, unpoisoned, awake you are, this will affect you someday as well, either in your own situation or by taking the life of someone you love dearly. Every major shift in every society for all of human history, for good or bad, has started when a larger group of people shifted the thoughts and minds of the majority to their side. If we do not expose and boldly name the evil in our midst, we concede humanity and whatever future it may have left to the interests of those actively engaged in murdering via deception, willful ignorance, greed, and hate. Truth and the pursuit of justice is never wrong. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Those of us who are dying need you now to know we will not be erased, and we will need you later to not be forgotten.
Well said. And we've read a number of his very articulate and eloquent statements about having been murdered by the medical pharmaceutical cartel. And
yep.
He is speaking for tens and ultimately hundreds and ultimately billions of people who are being taken out. And do remember that we've had reports from Indonesia, from the Philippines, digging graveyards as fast as they can. You don't hear about it over here, but it's not restricted to the U.S. It is everywhere. So, okay, I'm going to put up the 35-year professional clinical microbiologist video. We'll put that up in headlines, and we'll put it up under the guest section as well. I'll put the Carrie Mullis piece up also. And, there's no question. That man was incredibly healthy. You can see by the video. So we're supposed to believe he suddenly got, pneumonia and died? No, or whatever the lung thing was. He allegedly died of a pulmonary problem.
Removed.
Right. You bet. Too many to count. Okay, great job. Thank you. We'll do it again.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Okay. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay, we'll take a break. Come right back with Father Paul Kramer coming up next. Stay right there.